So over the days here on retreat, you are invited to bring mindful attention to all that's occurring. What you see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and think. Not only in the hall, but during the walking, while you're eating. So throughout all of the activities of the day. So mindfulness is the first factor of awakening, and the second factor of awakening is inquiry or investigation. And that's what we're doing here. We're inquiring into the nature of existence. We're seeing through our direct experience what it means to be alive and to live with wisdom. So the exploration is both exploring what happens on a daily basis, but also, in particular, what's happening here in the meditation hall when you bring attention to the breath, to the sitting, and we see into the formations of mind. We see how thoughts are fabricated, they're put together, they're constructed, and of course, with the thought comes a feeling tone, with the feeling tone comes the thought, and vice versa. One conditions the other. And you may be experiencing quite strong emotions of grief or loss or fear or anger or irritation. There's the whole range of the feeling world. You may also be experiencing joy and peace, friendliness, kindness, and the more beautiful qualities of the heart mind. So our task is to explore and see into our experience and to discover for ourselves how the heart and mind can be free and our actions therefore born of wisdom. The wisdom and the compassionate action go together. So the form is, the invitation is that you come with a question and there's a dialogue and an exploration. And those of you listening are really listening inwardly to your reactions, how you're touched deeply by some inquiries. It might be that you feel annoyed or irritated or distressed by something else that you hear. Part of the practice is watching this, discovering what's actually going on, seeing your own habitual patterns of thought and how they color and shape consciousness. So the intention in the inquiry is freedom for all, those speaking and those listening. So it's to notice where the clinging is and to free us up from the places where we find stuckness, where we grasp, where we hold to, perhaps a view, an opinion, and so on. In between each inquiry, as usual, we'll have a really silent, quiet time, and your attention really helps with the inquiry. So please, listening, it may be that sometimes you think the inquiry is too long, too short, too much like counseling or not. It's actually not therapy because it's pointing always to the truth of things. It's always pointing to release and freedom. There's some crossover, of course, with the therapeutic world. So let's sit quietly. And notice any judgments that you may have. And of course, you're always very welcome to explore a meditation experience that you've had. Yes, anybody? Yeah? Oh, okay, come. Sometimes I don't see you if you're sitting behind that pole. Hello.
Hello.
What's your name?
I'm Miri.
Welcome.
Thank you. I noticed that I have an habituation to achieve things.
Yes.
Even when I'm here, I want to achieve insights.
Yes. So this is the movement of desire. Mm-hmm. I want to acquire. I want to have. I want to achieve.
Mm-hmm. So the focus is on ending things instead of the being satisfied on the way.
Ah, yes. So the attention goes to the outcome.
Mm-hmm. I'm a painter, so I'm drawing.
And yes.
I noticed that while I'm drawing, there's tension. Mm-hmm. When I did my service in cutting tomatoes, yes. I noticed that, like, I'm looking for the satisfaction of finishing, of yes. doing it in a certain way, mm. and it goes hand in hand with the feel that I need to be approved.
Yes. So we want the outcome. We want to chop the tomatoes really well and have the task finished.
Yeah.
So we miss the experience of doing mm-hmm. it and paying attention.
Yes.
And that goes hand in hand with wanting to be seen with approval mm-hmm. and being a success.
Okay. And a good child at
all. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah. I want to be really good. Yeah. And of course, with works of art and drawing, there's also the eye lands on, I am an artist mm-hmm. and I want people to like my work. Mm-hmm. It's fraught with difficulty, isn't it? So since you've been here, what have you discovered about being with your experience directly in the moment?
I discovered that I have this capacity.
Yes.
But I didn't find it yet while doing something.
Okay.
When I'm lying on my bed or just not doing anything, I can feel like this presence. But
yes. And when you feel presence as you're lying on your bed, what do you experience? Please tell us.
Some sensations in my body, yes. memories.
Yes.
It's like a felt sense in my body of
yes.
my thoughts.
Yes. So thoughts come and go, but they're not an issue. They're not a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah, interesting. Don't you think?
Yes. So I thought about it that maybe
then she had a thought about the thought.
like doing things yeah. It's natural to have some tension when you're doing things.
It's not, sorry?
It's natural to have some tension while yes. doing things. Yet I feel like there may be another way, more relaxed way.
Okay.
Like doing while resting at the same time.
Beautiful. Doing while resting. We call this non-doing sometimes, or when we do something without the construction of the one who is the doer, because the one who is the doer wants to have the job done and completed and finished.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you're just with your experience, like just walking from here out of the hall, when you're just walking, can you just walk, or in the meditation, walking meditation practice, can you just walk? You're not concerned about going somewhere or getting somewhere, but just walking.
I think so.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. So now you can lie down and you can walk without grasping. We've got half the postures in. Okay. So sitting right here now.
Yeah.
So just sitting without grasping, without wanting the inquiry to be over. Without wanting to be off, out of the hot seat. But just being present.
Yes.
Yes. And what do you experience?
Some calmness.
Oh, yes. As easy as that. As easy as that. And of course, we can bring the same attitude to standing. So we can stand, walk, lie down, and sit.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other postures, dance. So all of that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? You're not clinging to the outcome. What's happened to desire?
I mean, by walking and sitting, I don't have so much desire, but while doing my art, I have lots of desires.
Yes, okay, let's come to the art. So you begin an artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me a little bit about the creative process that you experience. When creativity comes, what's happening?
It's a, like, I have some drive that needs to be satisfied. Like, I want it to be very impressive,
mm-hmm.
and to express myself. And I really want to enjoy the process as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the process, in the immediacy of the actual process,
mm-hmm.
there's an intention.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you call the drive to express something. You have the
mm-hmm.
intention, I'm going to draw now.
Mm-hmm.
In the actuality of the drawing,
mm-hmm.
I'm not an artist, but I was once a creative dance teacher. So I understand this process
mm-hmm.
where we can be without thought for a moment.
Yes.
Yes. And then rather naturally, some creative expression comes.
It's really nice.
Yes.
I think especially when I work with watercolors.
Yes.
I really like to watch the way they like move by themselves, and that something happens without my control.
Yes.
But it looks beautiful anyway.
Yes.
Yes.
So yes.
That's very nice.
Yes. So there's the creative process. We let go of control.
But there is I feel like there should be some balance, because I also want that my intention will be expressed there.
Yes. So your intention can still be expressed, I think, without the emphasis being on the finished
mm-hmm.
before it's done. Because then you're not being present,
mm-hmm.
you're not allowing the creativity to burst forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you familiar with this style of painting? It's called Sumié painting. It's the black ink on mm-hmm. rice paper.
Yes.
And I was once in Thailand at Ajahn Buddhadasa's monastery, and the monks would sit with their paper and their black ink and meditate, and they would sit and sit, and then suddenly they would rather quickly do the entire painting.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was done. And they were often quite cryptic and beautiful. And when you looked at it, there was, you understood what was trying to be said.
So So there is some effort that needs to be invested.
Yes. So there's an intention, there's, you need the paper, you need the materials, there's a direction, there's effort, but there's a balance with the effort, isn't there, of not pushing, not striving too hard, because then you put pressure on the mind and then the creativity vanishes.
So I think like I see the end of where I want to go.
Yes.
But is there a practical practice that I can do while drawing in order to reach there?
Okay. What would you think, given our discussion so far, what do you think it would be? How would you pay attention as you draw, as you paint?
I thought maybe to walk with a timer. And like each 5 minutes to stop.
Oh, amazing. Okay.
It's difficult for me to stop, but
try
but to
it.
Stop, take three breaths and go back.
Okay, see what happens. Mm-hmm. Try it. Experiment.
Yeah.
So you're stopping, being very present, bringing attention to what it is you're doing.
And also like accept that... It's the way it is right now.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. You see the inner wisdom coming forth. Stopping. Accept. This is the way it is right now. When we stop and we're just with what is, you can do that right here, right now. What happens to the self idea? What happens to the self?
I'm not sure I...
you understand the question.
Yes.
Okay, right now, just sit. Just stopping.
So I feel very embarrassed.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. So I do feel myself.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just let the embarrassed self fade away, please. I understand it can be anxiety provoking being up here. So just letting that dissolve, and then what? Yes, the smile. Being rather at ease. So there's ease.
Mm-hmm.
And my question was, when you stop and you're just at ease, what happens to the I thought, the sense of self, the tendency to self-reference, the tendency to want our experience to be other than it is? What happens to it?
I suppose, yeah, I feel it less.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel what less? The self? You feel the
yes.
self?
I know that's the right answer. That, yeah. But,
you know it's the right answer, but it's not what's happening right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So right now, just sitting with all of us, not trying to do anything, not trying to get anywhere different from how you are.
Okay.
Being utterly as you are, as it is with us here right now. Look out there. You're looking away, avoiding looking at anybody. Okay. What do you experience?
I'm very embarrassed.
Yeah. So the I is saying what? I shouldn't be here. I don't know what to say.
Like I congratulate myself on doing this because it's hard.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So don't worry about embarrassment. Please.
No, I actually am okay with being embarrassed.
Oh, very good. You're embarrassed, but you're okay.
Yes.
Brilliant. Okay, so you can be utterly free with embarrassment. How wonderful. What good news. Okay, so you completely free right here and now. Reflecting on what we've discussed so far about how to paint, how to draw without being so concerned with the end product, with the outcome. You've discovered how to be with yourself right now, no matter what that is. You have a couple of strategies of, I'm going to stop and take some breaths. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop trying to get to the end.
Yes.
To be present, to remember how you are when you lie on your bed. And there's attention. So remember your understanding, where there isn't a problem anywhere and there's the sense of calm that you described. Just that.
So it might be that all my life I will feel this tension while drawing, and that's fine.
It could be, but I think something different will happen. I think there'll be some ease. I think there might be perhaps a rush of energy, but it doesn't have to be problematic in any way.
Mm. So it will transform by itself.
Exactly. There's a beautiful art exhibition in Tel Aviv, and there's a woman who's painting on big sheets of canvas on the floor, and she's painting with her whole body like a dance. And it's extraordinary to watch because it's mindful attention, and she paints with charcoal on this white cloth, and it's incredible. You should go and see at the end of the retreat. I think it's still on. And you watch the way that she moves and the way that she pays attention as she's doing it. And so she's very much totally in the moment. She's just there. And in a way, it's non-doing. It's not being caught up in the doer, the one who wants to have the product finished, but total mindful attention to how and what is being done. And there's this glorious unfolding work of art. You'll be inspired, I'm sure.
Okay,
and so that's the quality of heart and mind to take to the practice when you paint, when you draw.
Okay, I'll try.
You'll try?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, anybody? Yes, come. Welcome. What's your name?
Maya.
Okay.
So we live in a world where you have to make a lot of choices.
Yes.
Too much choices all the time. And I find myself, I think, I don't know if it's been always, but I think the last year, always like having trouble to decide this or that. And then I decide something, and then the day after I may change my mind, and then if I decide something and I go with it, then I find something else to debate on. And even here, like very, very small things. And on the pillow, sometimes I can let go. But then at life, you have to make the choices. You can't always tell yourself, ah, it's just thoughts. It's not important. So maybe you have a magical solution on how to make choices the Buddhist way.
Okay, the Buddhist way. We think we're making a choice, don't we? Often. We think we actually have a choice. But in terms of the Dharma, events occur due to causes and conditions. And each condition contributes to the unfolding next condition and the next condition and so on. So you are here sitting with us due to thousands and thousands of past causes and conditions. I am here. Again, hundreds and thousands of causes and conditions have contributed to me being here. You there. We get the impression that we're making decisions to do this or that. Your turn. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, that it's an illusion.
Say more.
I know also sometimes I make a choice and then something changes, so the choice is not relevant anymore.
Yes.
But still, like, when it comes to me making the choice,
yes,
it feels like the world is dependent on it and I have to make the best choice.
Yeah,
and
yes,
there is obviously a better choice.
Yes, yes, yes. So we look dualistically, and our habit of mind is to see in terms of right and wrong, good and bad. In India, they have four options. One, the other, both, or neither. Okay? So, they're the options. One, the other, both, or neither. So, here we are. We have arrived at this point, you and I, sitting here. Did you design it like this? Not really. You came from there to here, but that's all. So, the world is unfolding rather freely. We don't have the control that we think we do. So, sometimes something occurs, and I would rather say it's choiceless. Your turn.
Yes, but I was actually debating whether to come here or to a dance instructor course.
Yes.
And then if I would have made the choice to go there, then this whole thing I would be looking at something completely different.
Yes. So there's a kind of limited response that we have. We can respond to a situation and go here or there. But actually, we don't quite have as much control as we think. What made you decide to come here rather than go to the dance?
It was expensive.
It was cheaper here. Bravo to Tovana. It's a wonderful thing.
No, there was a few things, and at the end it just I just didn't decide, and this what happened anyway.
Yes. So there were factors that contributed that actually weren't about you. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because we think the I likes to control, yet what's actually happening is something else. There's a myriad, there's countless causes and conditions contributing to any event. So, coming back to your question. Is the I really making the decision?
It thinks it does.
Yes, it thinks it does. The I thinks in a very limited way. So the I thinks, we think we're making all these decisions in our life. I never could have imagined that I'd end up teaching meditation in Israel. You should see where I grew up in rural Australia. I could not have dreamt it. Yet, causes and conditions brought me here.
But also maybe a lot of choices that you made that brought you here.
The choice is kind of minimal, isn't it? I think the choice is quite minimal because the I thought has such little control. So the Buddha taught the middle path between it's all fate and destiny and we all have control. Because if I had control, there'd be peace on earth and there'd be lots, no one would ever be ill and... But we don't have that control. And so we have our response to any given situation. That's all. We have a response of the heart to the given situation. And we interpret that as we are in control and life is all about me. And that's a very narrow view because it isn't. We're not the center of things, but the I acts as if we are the center of everything. So, can you act freely without being caught in the dualistic pattern of right and wrong? What would inform your actions? Because we think one day this is best and the next day we think, oh no, the other option would be better, and then we get in a tangle. What would it be to respond to life really freely?
Connecting more to intuition?
Yes, good answer. Keep going. Because the intuition sometimes just takes us beyond the ordinary.
Yeah, but sometimes it's... There might be intuition, but there is too much noise that covering it up.
Yes, sometimes there's... a fear, sometimes there's anxiety, sometimes there's anger and irritation, covering the clarity of mind.
Other people's opinions.
Yes, what other people will think, and I want to be approved of, and I want people to like me, all of those things. All of those things color consciousness and prevent us from being clear and free. And then the response comes, and it's the action that's in accordance with truth.
Meaning whatever I choose is what I should have chosen, in a way.
Once we understand the Dharma, we understand how to be with life without clinging. Then the next step in the Eightfold Path is intention. Now, intentions, what we intend to do, needs to be in accordance with the understanding of non-clinging, with the understanding of the heart that's free, the understanding of resting on an ethical foundation. The understanding of living with wisdom. Sila, Samadhi, Panya. So, first of all, we understand. Then we have the intention. And then, of course, from that comes our actions that are in accordance with our deepest understanding. And then the duality of right and wrong isn't entangling consciousness, if you like. Mm-hmm. There's a really interesting sutta of the Buddha's where somebody's asking the Buddha, is suffering caused by oneself? The answer is no. Is it caused by another? No. Is suffering just fortuitous? Oh, is suffering caused by self and other? No. Is suffering just fortuitous? No. The mind can grasp nowhere. I'll say it again. Is suffering caused by oneself? No. Is it caused by another? No. Is it caused by itself and other? No. Is it just fortuitous? No. So there's nowhere to grasp. You got it. Nowhere to grasp.
But I understood that now I have to learn the Dharma to make choices.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. Yes, anybody? Yeah, come.
Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
Itai.
Itai.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks. I would like to speak a little bit about my relations with my father and parents, both parents, but my dad especially. So he's struggling with dementia for the last 10 years, I would say.
10 years.
Yeah. And the thing is, at first I was kind of paralyzed by it. I was mainly angry.
Yes.
With the situation and absurdly with him.
Oh.
Yeah. And
so you wanted him to be different.
Yeah. because I love him so much.
Oh.
And yeah, so step by step I felt I'm losing my father.
Yes. So the father you knew is dissolving, really.
Yeah.
Falling away.
Actually.
And for you, the father you knew and loved initially has shifted and changed.
Yeah. So now I can't really recognize him. And
Does he recognize you?
Yeah. He does. My mother and me, and sometimes my parents, we all we live in the same place. So I go by his house several times a day.
So you see him several times a day?
Yeah, but I pass by his house on the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't get in. That's what I wanted to talk about, really. I actually feel that I don't know where is the love.
Within you or
within me?
Ah,
yes. Like I'm feeling quite ashamed a little bit, going by his house or on the pavement and not seeing him, right?
So you're avoiding seeing him sometimes.
Sometimes,
because why are you avoiding seeing him in that moment?
Because when I look at him like this, it's so difficult. I don't recognize him.
Yes.
And I blocked myself.
Yeah, so you feel hurt somehow, or what word would you use? What's the feeling?
It's
right
like
then?
Looking away from a painful place.
Yes. So it's the pain that's problematic for you.
It's the looking away from the pain.
You look away from the pain. That is the pain. That's the expression of the pain. You see the pain and you're looking away. More pain.
This is the real pain for me. Like,
yes.
And being aware of not looking.
Yes.
And not meeting.
Yes. So what would it take from your side to really meet that situation?
So sometimes I kind of it sounds funny, but I like stroke him in his hair on his head.
Beautiful. When you stroke his head, what happens?
It's soft. It's tender.
Yes.
And he really has a soft hair.
Yes.
And beautiful hair,
and as you stroke his hair,
but is there after all? I hate like kind of hate this situation with when he's not the father anymore. He's a boy.
Yes,
and I'm petting his head.
Yes. Like, yes.
And it's soft, but it's painful also.
Okay. So, in the actual activity of patting his hair, it's soft, it's beautiful. I can see your eyes filling with tears. In the actual activity, there's love, isn't there? But what follows rather quickly is the loss of the father. That you're seeing a boy, you're seeing someone who is no longer the father.
Yeah, I go back to my anger, really.
Mm. I can see a really clear solution, can you? As you are there, you are the son wanting the father. He's unable to be the father anymore. So, of course, the I, the you, is wound around the son, who is therefore without the father. So, what if you were to just be a human being? Not the son. Then you stroke the hair. What then? Can you let go of the role of son, is my question.
I could say that the role of son doing me some troubles.
Yes.
When being, but it's not that easy, really, because
no.
I feel like...
I didn't say it was easy.
I feel like I owe him.
Ah.
Because he gave me life.
Yes.
And he treated me so good.
So he treated you beautifully as a father. Oh, you're a fortunate man. So he treated you so well,
yeah,
that you became attached very much, of course, naturally, to the father. Now he can no longer be the father in that role. He's still there.
It's okay. He doesn't have to be the father, but I should be a good boy.
There you go. I should be a good boy. This is the mental formation that's keeping the suffering in place. I should be a good son. I should be a good boy.
Can we just be a human being? We can't go out of that.
We can what?
We can break out of this one, I think. Being a good son.
Like, you can. You can break out of it. Of course you can. Have you been throughout your life a reasonable son? Let's not put too much pressure. Have you been a reasonable son, a good enough son? Yes. So there's your father coming to the end of his life. He's not as he was, and yet there can also be extraordinary moments of wisdom and clarity from people who are suffering from dementia. You can read Rennie's posts on Facebook. And sometimes I also have a friend who has dementia. She was a Dharma teacher. We taught together for many years. And now she's unable to use words like table or foot or shoe. She has a certain kind of dementia where she can't remember any words. Yet every now and then she has extraordinary moments of precious wisdom that's just divine. So, there is still in your father life. There's the being. There's the essence of the being, if you like. He's still there, still present.
But I'm also feeling so sorry for him. Like
yes.
When he's confused.
Yes.
And not finding the words, as you
yes.
said. It's
yes.
so...
It's agonizing to watch, but only if you want the person to be different. Only if you're the son wanting the father to be as you remember.
But also as a human being.
Yes. If you were just to meet him as a human being, how would you meet him? You would meet him knowing the humanity of the other, would you not? Just as a human being.
This is what I struggle with, I
guess. Yes, yes. So, what's your deepest knowing about yourself?
I love him.
Yes. And the love is unceasing and not dependent upon his state of mind.
Of course not.
No, of course not. So you love him.
But still I'm avoiding him. That's the terrible thing.
You're avoiding him sometimes.
Yeah.
So next time you walk past, stop. Remember the love that we've talked about here. Loosen the grip of the mind about being the good son and having to behave in a certain way, and then see what comes. See what comes through your body and mind. Then see what happens. Because I think the pressure you're putting on yourself is really also causing a difficulty. I must be a good son. And with the feelings that you experience, the loss, the anger that this has happened, it seems so unfair. It is. It's very difficult to lose the person that we knew. Yet there can also still be an extraordinary meeting of hearts. So it's to let go of the roles, the expectation of that he's my father and he should behave in a certain way, and let go of the son. And then you meet. You love him. You just express the love.
And there is also the fear, I guess, when, for example, imagining that will be the way that I will remember him.
Yes.
And forgetting how
yes.
it was.
Yes. Forgetting what a good dad he has been. Yeah. But you know how to remember that, don't you?
On the cushion, I succeed yes. sometime.
Yes.
Yeah, he's my beloved figure.
Yes.
Many times.
Yes. So we rest into our deepest understanding. He's a beloved figure. And no matter what his form now, no matter how the mind is, because it's all impermanent, the body, the mind, totally impermanent. No matter what he's now like, come back to the love, live with love, express the love. And sometimes if you don't feel like going in, you can walk on by. That's also fine.
Thank you.
Thank you. So with the first inquiry, we heard about the movement of desire. The mind often goes to the completed task and we miss being present in the activity itself. Through our practice, we learn to bring awareness to all the activities of the day, whatever that may be. With the creative process, often the best creative energies actually are expressed when the self view falls away. And then there's just the resting into the empty mind, like the monks with the Sumié painting. They wait until there's the silence of the mind, and then there's this wonderful movement of the artistic expression and creativity. And we really need the artists of the world, because very often there's a wonderful intention that's and artwork that's produced, which has such a resonance with our own heart and mind. It touches us really deeply. So this is a we can stand in front of an artwork and have an epiphany that consciousness opens up. So it's so important. To be a creative person isn't always easy because of the tendency to want approval from another. So in a way, we also have to drop the role or drop clinging to the role of I'm an artist and be content with our work and what's unfolding. With the second inquiry, we heard about decision making. We very often think we're making decisions, yet it's actually the result of many causes and conditions that have preceded the actual event. And this seems a very dry and clinical way of looking at things, but actually what it does is it takes the self out of our actions and activities. It frees us up once we see that events occur due to unfolding causes and conditions. It doesn't mean that we can't respond with wisdom or with love. In fact, that's what's required. And if we think about India for a moment, four options, one, the other, both, or neither. We tend in the West to think about either or. We think dualistically. And this division affects us rather dramatically. So it's to let go of dividing the world into good and bad, the light and the dark. So we have to be with the dualities, yet have some clarity about right action. And our right action comes about when we have the understanding of the Dharma. We understand there's suffering. We understand there's causes and conditions that contribute to it. We understand there's the cessation of suffering. And there's the path. And with the third inquiry, we heard about the rather tender and beautiful experience of having a wonderful father who now has dementia. And the father he knew is fading and falling away and disappearing. And of course, with that, we're left with the residue of the son or the daughter or the sister, whatever the role is. And it can be very painful, but we need to let go of clinging to any role or having any expectation of the other. And then we just act with the love. The love frees us up. Of course, sometimes it's not easy being with someone who has dementia. It really is not. Because we can get frustrated or irritated as well. But the real, I guess, what's required of us, what's really required of us, is to be the very best we can just as a human being and to act with the other with integrity, with kindness, with love and care. Not demanding the other give us something still. Not demanding that someone be the father or the mother or the Dharma teacher friend, in my case. So we have to let go completely. And yes, it can be very painful to see the dissolution of someone we love and we lose them before they die. We lose the familiar. But there can be, of course, that preciousness of just being present, of being present with love and care and friendliness and compassion. So thank you all three for the inquiries, and thank you all for your very attentive listening.